Good morning again. I don't know about you, but every time I start singing about that last trumpet, I get excited. Even so, Lord, come. But until then, we have to live in this world, and that's what God's Word is going to be talking about today, about living in this world. Romans, the seventh chapter. We'll begin the seventh chapter. What an awesome chapter this is. What an awesome chapter this is. I have no idea what that was there. Is that your ring? Okay. Okay. Romans, the seventh chapter, and we've been looking at the first six verses today, and we're going to talk about marriage. Well, in a way, it's an example. He's going to make another illustration between grace, faith, and the law. I think we need to kind of backtrack just for a moment, because we are ending this section here shortly. We need to kind of think about where we've been with Paul and what he's trying to tell us about the law and sin, grace and faith. It doesn't seem like a big deal to us, but to his readers at this particular point in time, a lot of the Jewish people who were converts to Christianity, they couldn't get past the fact that they had to follow the law. That was the way they grew up. That's the way they believed. And they just assumed that, okay, I believe Jesus is Messiah, but we still got to follow the law. Paul was trying very desperately to point by point, build upon point, to get to a certain point to where they understood completely that they did, the law was gone. And these six verses are another illustration of that. Why is that important to us? Do we live under the law? Not the law of Moses, but there are those who believe you have to. Even though Paul is talking about the actual law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and all the laws given subsequent, Paul has already had said that the law has been fulfilled, it's dead. And he's going to make some statements in this passage today that might be shocking for us. Every one of us understands that we need to live a good life, that we don't need to have sin in our lives. We know the consequences of having sin in our lives. So we understand that. But the argument they were making, and the argument people make today in other denominations that they make, well, you can be, if you believe what you believe, then you can be saved, and you never have to worry about that, you can sin all you want to. And that's just simply not true. And once again, Paul's going to be talking about that. All of these deviations, and you say, well, if we're not in the law, then this doesn't apply to me. Sure it does. If you believe that you need to go to church in order to be saved, you're following the law. If you believe that you have to cut out most of the sin in your life to be saved, you're following the law. If you believe that if you mess up just one time that you're going to have to repent or you're going to be you're not be saved, then you're following the law. If you believe that you have to give offering every Sunday in order to be saved and to be a good, faithful person to where God will deem you righteous, then you're following the law. You see what I'm saying? Anything that you think you're trying to gain God's favor with, and you think that's going to cause you to be more holy or special, and anything that you can do, you are following the law. So yes, it does apply to us today. And what we read here is not just for those few Jewish Christians, converts, who believe that following the law was their pathway to getting into the kingdom of God. Paul's making his some strong, strong statements. And if you hear today, or beyond the camera, and you still think things like, if I commit suicide, then I'm going to hell, it's an automatic thing, you're wrong. There is, if you're a saved child of God, there is nothing that you can do to change that. And there's nothing that you can do to gain that. It's all in His hands. And so we're going to look this morning at these six verses. And He's going to use the illustration of the two marriages. Yes, two marriages. And he understands, and He's going to be talking to people who know the law and use the law as an example for the point He's trying to make. So let's look at the first three verses in Romans chapter 7. Are you all being ignorant, brothers, to those who are knowing the law? I am speaking. So that the law is ruling over the man as long time he is living. For the married woman to a husband who is living, being bound and continues to be bound to the law. But if the husband may have died, she has been freed and continues to be free from the law of the husband. So then as and she be revealed an adulteress while the husband being alive, if she may have become to another man, but if the husband may have died, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, having become another man's. The first thing I want to show you is what he's saying here. The law has dominion over man, which includes the law of Moses. We live under laws. We like some of them, we don't like some of them, but they're laws. But there's a broader picture, a broader principle of law that's communicated by creation and by conscience, and these have a dominion over a man. Now, a law dominates and rules over a man as long as he lives. If I was to go rob a bank, and on the way, as the police are chasing me around, and I'm weaving out, and I have a car accident and die, they're not going to try me, because the law does not have dominion over me. Not anymore. I'm dead to it. They can't prosecute me. They can't put me in jail. They can't execute me. I'm already dead. So I have no need for the law. The law applies only to the living. And it has no bearing whatsoever upon the dead. A dead man is freed from the law. The law has no jurisdiction or power over a dead man. You might wonder, okay, isn't that kind of obvious? There's a reason why Paul's saying this, because a little later on he's going to make that point. And we're going to understand it a lot better than we do now, I hope. The law is alive and active to the living. All right? Here's the example. See the husband and wife who are living in the law of marriage and divorce. Okay? Guys, there's a reason why marriage is important to relationships. When you commit to marriage, you don't have to wake up every day wondering if that person's going to be gone or not. There's a commitment. There's a legal ramifications to it, and it's important. All right? The law, according to the Old Testament law, said that if you were married, you could not just go out and take another wife or sleep around. That was the law. She would become, if a woman did that, she'd become an adulteress. All right? That law, and as long as they were married, When I do a wedding, at the very end of it, I'll say, oh, well, during the vows, I'll ask the question, and I have them repeat, till death do you part. In theory, that's the way God designed it, was that you would become, would you be married till death did you part. And then, and this gets in muddy waters, but, or a legal divorce. Now, the law is dead or inactive when death enters the picture. For instance, the wife is loosed from her vow, her commitments, freed from the law when her husband dies. Okay? These are pretty basic rudimentary things we understand. Now, the law condemns the living who violates its demands. Those who are alive, if they, in back in this time, if you were to go sleeping around on your wife or your wife sleeping around on your husband, there was a severe penalty, a price to pay for that. So the law, because of the law, that's the wife who marries another man while her husband lives. That's called polygamy. Death frees a person from the law. So the point here that he makes in these first three verses is this. When death enters the picture, a person is no longer under the law, and he can no longer be condemned by the law. So therefore, death frees a person from the law and from its demands, from its guilt, and from the law's condemnation. He said, Brother Randy, that was all nice and fine, but what was that all about? Well, let's look in verse 4. So that my brothers, you all also have been made dead to the law through the body of Christ, for you all become to another who out of the dead, after being raised up, so that we might be bearing fruit to God. Did you catch that? You also have been made dead to the law through the body of Christ. Believers are dead to the law. Therefore, the law is bound to be dead and inactive to believers. That's us. We are not bound to the law because we are dead to the law through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This is his point. The law has no jurisdiction. It has no power. It has no rule, no authority, and it has no dominion over a true believer. The law is a dead issue to us. It has nothing to do with the believer. This law simply does not exist to us. Now, this is a shock to most people. Because you know what? We are under the thing that if you want to get people to do right, you need to have rules. Name some place that doesn't have rules. Don't run in the auditorium. We don't do, we always put our dirty dishes up in the sink when we're through at our house. Those are rules. We all, in some shape, way, shape, or form, live under rules. But that's not a way to get to heaven. We want people to live right and live holy. And so we'll say, go down the list. God says, you shall not, you must not, you cannot do this, 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 and this. And if you do, man, you may not make it to heaven. You may lose your fellowship. Now, we don't say that, do we? But we imply it a lot. So we make rules to try to keep them in line. Now, we're not under the law. We are dead to the law. The believer is no longer under the law and its accusing fingers. Now I want you to notice something. It says you become dead to the law. How? Through the body of Christ. So Paul carefully explained that we died with Jesus, that we died with Jesus, and we rose also with him. Now, here Paul's speaking of our death to sin in Romans 6. He talked we died to sin, but here he explains we also died to the law. And some might think, yes, we were saved by his grace. But now we must live by the law to please God. You catch what I said? We died to the law. We're saved by his grace. But once we're saved, we got to live by the law to please him. Paul makes it very clear here that we are dead to the law as far as it represents a principle of living or a place of right standing before God. In other words, God's not going to love you as much if you don't follow all the rules and live the way you ought to. No, God loves me just as much as he loves anybody else. And loves you just as much as he loves all others. There's no degrees with God as far as loving. He loves all of his children. He loves them all the same. I want you to notice something. For you all become to another. See that? It's talking about being married to another. There are so many people that want to be married to God and to the law. It don't work. You have to die to the law in order to be married to Christ. We are not free from the law just so that we can live for ourselves. Got it? He wants us to be married. We are free so that we can be married to Jesus and so that we can bear fruit to God. It's not an opportunity for us to, well, I'm free from the law. I can do whatever I want to. You're free from the law so that you can be married or become to another. Before coming to Christ, the believer was married and united to the law. And he was under the law's rules and authority. But now, since coming to Christ, he's married and united to Christ. He is under his rule. He's under Christ's authority. And the believer no longer lives as the law says, but as Christ commanded and as Christ lived. And look what it says, bearing fruit to God. The believer dies to the law so that he can bear fruit unto God. And bearing fruit would mean to bear righteousness, to bear converts, to bear Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit. We're not under the law no more, because this way we can bear fruit for God. Look in verses 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of the sin that are through the law, the sins were working for themselves in your members to bear fruit to the death. But now, we have ceased from of the law after having died in which we were held, so that you are to serve in the newness of spirit and not the oldness of letter. When we were in the flesh, when we were under the law, did you realize we did not bear fruit to God? Instead, we bore fruit to death because the law aroused the passions of sin within us. He said, what are you talking about? Now, we're going to talk more about this in a couple of weeks. But Paul, to bear fruit to death, Paul explained this problem of the law. But now we see his point. that we can only come fully to the place of bearing fruit for God when we are free from the law. The law is alive and active to the man who doesn't have Christ. It's alive and active in that it points out sin and it arouses guilt within a man when he violates the law. It's alive and active when it arouses sinful passions or the passions of the sin. Passion of sins. The law not only points out sin, it actually arouses feelings and stirs the emotions to do the forbidding. Paul knows this well, and so do you. Don't tell me I can't do something. Don't tell me not to. Look, those cookies that are in the fridge, they're for something else. But come about midnight, boy, cookies and a glass of milk would be awesome. And next thing I know, I'm thinking about it, laying in bed, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it. The more I think about it, the more I say, she ain't going to miss this one. And I can't eat just one. You see how that works? Let me share something, a more biblical example. King David made a mistake. He should have been with his army, fighting in the war battle, but he was at home. He walks up to his rooftop and looks down and he sees Bathsheba, his next door neighbor, and she is bathing. He got an eyeful. Turned his head. I can't look. And he looked again. He knew he shouldn't. The law stated, And he says, well, I'll be all right as long as I don't act upon it. And then he kept looking. Then he sent her over, and then he sent for her. And he said, well, committed adultery. Then he tried to get it, then he killed her. He killed her husband. Literally, put him to a place in the war that he was going to get killed, so he murdered him.
That's what rules. That's what the law does. Because you see,
and you say, Brother Rand, you've got to have rules. And yeah, you do. But whose rules are we following? Man's? Or are we following God's?
There's something within man that makes him want to do what he is forbidden to do. When he's restricted or fenced in, he wants to break down the fence. He wants to go beyond where he's allowed. He wants to take control over his own life as he wishes and as he wills. And when a man violates the law, he bears transgression and sin, and it leads to death. In fact, sin deserves death. What is it? The wages of sin are death. But now we've been delivered from the law. Okay? Does that mean we can do anything we want? Here's Paul summarizes the theme of the first six verses, the first five verses. Because we died with Jesus at Calvary, we are dead to the law and delivered from its dominion over us as a principle of justification or of sanctification. The law never justifies us. It doesn't make us right with God. If you follow the law as best as you possibly can, it won't make you right with God. It'll just make that. Can you imagine living your life as pure and holy as you can, and then all of a sudden you say, I got there, and then all of a sudden you mess up? The guilt would be horrendous. And then you'll start to think, well, I've messed up once. I might as well continue so. The law doesn't sanctify us. The law doesn't make us holy. It doesn't take us deeper with God and make us more holy before Him. Believers are delivered, that is, have been discharged from the law. How? By our death in Christ. Okay, that leaves us with a little problem. how in the world are we going to make everybody act right? How are we going to live good and holy lives if there's no law telling us to do that? So that we should serve in the newness of spirit. Our freedom is not given so that we can stop serving God, but so that we can serve Him better. We can serve Him better under the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. What are the two commandments that Jesus gave? Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon which all the commandments of God hang upon. In other words, you do those two things. You learn those two commandments and you won't have to worry about law. Period. Love. That's serving in the newness of the Spirit, not in the letter of the law. Oh, it's so easy for us church people to get together and have traditions and rituals and have all these things. But when it boils down to it, the law is doing, loving God and loving your neighbor and doing and acting upon it. That is the law that we face today. You know what? If you love your neighbor, if you love God, you'll do the first four easy, the first four Ten Commandments easy. If you love your neighbor, you won't have to worry about the last six. It's love. Not a list of thou shalt not, but two, thou shalt. You will love God. You will love your neighbor. You know, so how do you serve? In the newness of the Spirit. Do you realize something? That when you live your life trying to please God by the letter of the law, you'll never ever be satisfied trying to please God. Because you know what? He can't stand even one iota of sin. It's a shame that so many serve sin or legalism with more devotion than those who would serve God out of the newness of spirit. Brother Randy, I come to church. I worship. I sing. I give my money. I do good to some people. But that's not the newness of spirit. And as long as I keep that up, God's going to be pleased with me. No, God's not going to be pleased with you until you love your neighbor. Until you love him with all your heart. To where a point when you do mess up, it's not a matter of, oh God, please don't hurt me. It's a matter of, God, please, I don't mean to hurt you. It's that attitude. It is unfortunate when the fear of the law motivates us more than love. And that's what Paul's talking about. We should never have to worship or serve God in a spirit of fear. Always about breaking one of His rules. But it should always be in a manner of love, where we serve our fellow humankind and we worship our God because of love. When you were young, you served your parents. When they told you to do something, you did it. And for many, it was not because of the rules, although there were rules. You did it because at some point in your life, you did it because you loved them and you wanted to honor them. At least I hope you did. And I hope your parents were ones that didn't, you know, that you broke a rule so you got to pay. You know, there are times for that. Love is greater than fear. The law creates fear. But His grace brings love. And love is greater than fear. for those of us today who are dead to sin, to the law. Are we actually serving in the newness of spirit or in the fear of the law, the letter of the law? It makes a difference whether or not you're going to bear fruit or not. And I hope and pray that we can. That love will win out. And we'll serve by loving instead of love serving by fear of our Lord and our Savior. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're under the law. You're still alive to it. In the price that you pay, when he wrote in 6:23, when he said, "For the wages of sin is death," that's you. It's not me no more, because I'm free from sin. I am free from the law. The law no longer accuses me. But it does you if you haven't accepted Christ. I hope and pray this morning that that'll change. It's really simple. You don't have to do so many Hail Marys. You don't have to give so much money. You don't have to do so many good works. All you have to do is, when the Spirit of God touches you, deals with your heart, telling you, "Come on, accept me as your Savior," you say yes. Would you do that this morning? Would you say yes to His Holy Spirit? And then you too can be free from the fear of the law and its condemnation. And you can live your life in the spirit of the newness of the Spirit, which is love. As we stand and prepare up an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, but I will tell you this. God knows them. He knows exactly what's going on with you. This morning, will you come? Will you, if you're here lost and without Jesus Christ, would you come? Would you listen to what God's speaking to your heart right now? And whether it's for salvation, whether it's maybe you've been living your life by the law when you didn't need to, make that change today. Would you do that? So as we sing, would you allow God to change you? And just say yes to Him as we sing.
Number 540. 540.